The incredible history of women in science is getting more and more coverage. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a popular science author about a little-known, true story of how women made landmark contributions to astronomy. That conversation starts now.
Hello, welcome back, and thanks for listening. You may have caught this too, but recently I saw astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson on a late-night talk show, and he read an epigraph from his best-selling new book.
James Ferguson, 1757. Of all the sciences cultivated by mankind, astronomy is acknowledged to be, and undoubtedly is, the most sublime, the most interesting, and the most useful. For by knowledge derived from this science, not only the bulk of the earth is discovered, but our very faculties are enlarged with the grandeur of the ideas it conveys, our minds exalted above their low, contracted prejudices.
That sounds pretty grand, but it is not a stretch to say that Mr. Tyson and other astronomers and astrophysicists are standing on the shoulders of a team of women from almost 100 years ago. That story is in another book titled The Glass Universe. In the mid-19th century, the Harvard College Observatory began employing a few women as calculators, or human computers, to interpret the observations their male counterparts made via telescope every night. And as photographic technology increased, so did the role of the women. How many glass plates were created to map the skies and stars? It's 500,000. Here's my chat with the author and storyteller of The Glass Universe.
Deva Sobel, and I am a science writer.
Usually with authors, there is an inflection point. There's an impetus around why this story needed to be told. Can we just start with something so generic as that, please?
It is a happy story, a surprising story, of a time when women got to do some very important, groundbreaking, space-breaking work in astronomy. And it's a forgotten story. And it seemed very important to bring it out now. In fact, every day I feel it becomes more and more relevant as I read the headlines.
I have to agree.
But this was a moment when women really didn't easily break into a career in science, especially not astronomy. Botany was a more logical place for a woman to find a place in the academic world. But at Harvard, partly because the observatory was really separate from the university and was a place where the director lived so that his family was around him, and he brought in his wife, sister, daughter to do some of the work at the observatory. And that led to the discovery that women really could do the work that was necessary. And then from there, it was just a hop and a skip to saying, well, we could probably hire more women from outside the observatory family, and that would be good, and it would be economical, too, because women's salaries are lower than men's salaries, something that's unfortunately just as true today as it was then.
Yes, it is unfortunate. You mentioned botany was a more logical path for women scientists. But one thing that stood out to me when I was skimming through the book, and I looked at the staff photograph of the women that did the astronomy work, and there were young women and older women. Did that stand out for you, too, just the age range of talent?
Yes. And by your mentioning the age range, I know which picture you're looking at. And this is a picture that included some women who had, by that point, been working at the observatory for 30 years, and others, fresh young faces, who had just come in thanks to a fellowship program, especially for women, just designed to bring in young women who could spend a year at Harvard and then go off and work at another observatory, a program that had the effect of infiltrating observatories around the country with young, competent women. And that same program led to a graduate program in astronomy at Harvard. And the first students, the first graduate students, were all women because the fellowship money was available only for women.
Ah.
And it took a few more years before the young men could join them in the graduate level astronomy program.
Well, that's some refreshing progressive thinking. I wonder how rare it must have been for Harvard to take such a...
Very rare.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it replicated within a contemporary time period?
Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Other observatories either stuck to the gathering of knowledge rather than the training of future astronomers. And other observatories were, or other universities were, not as welcoming to women students. So this situation was very unusual from the beginning, and one of the reasons I wanted to tell the story.
We're speaking with Davis Sobel. She's the author of The Glass Universe, How the Ladies of the Harvard Observatory Took the Measure of the Stars, which I use that title again because I want to celebrate some of the achievements and accomplishments from this team. I'll let you cherry pick. What's one story that you'd like to be able to tell about something that was discovered or made codified by their efforts?
Well, one thing involved a woman who was there from the early days named Williamina Fleming, who had come to work at the observatory as a maid, as a domestic servant, because she was an immigrant. Her husband had disappeared on her, and she was pregnant and desperate. But the director noticed how intelligent she was, and he moved her over to the observatory and taught her how to do computing, how to look at the glass photographs of the sky and analyze what she saw there. And then he helped her go home to Scotland to give birth. And she was so grateful to him that she named the baby for him.
Mm.
And then she came back and stayed at the observatory the rest of her life. And she published a classification system for 10,000 stars. And she
wow.
did this by looking at each star's light split up into its component colors and lines, and devised this system, which was published with her name on it. And she also went on to be the first woman to hold a university title at Harvard as the curator of astronomical photographs. So all these pictures that were being taken of the sky, taken on glass photographic plates. And that is what I mean by the title, The Glass Universe, mm-hmm. that they actually captured the content of the universe on these photographic plates. And she was in charge of them for the rest of her life. And eventually that collection of glass plates numbered 500,000. And they are all still in the building that was constructed specifically to house them.
Amazing. Your title also is kind of a double entendre with the glass universe, of course, implying also a glass ceiling. I'm sure you can't tell this story, unfortunately, without sexism being part of the story. And I noticed part two of your book on the contents is called, Oh, Be a Fine Girl, Kiss Me.
But it's not about sexual harassment. Oh, Be a Fine Girl, Kiss Me is a mnemonic that astronomy students use to learn the order of the stars. So when Mrs. Fleming created her classification system, she had been a school teacher, so she just used the alphabet, starting from A and going on. Then other women who came to work at the observatory improved on her system and had to juggle the alphabet to represent the new order that they determined. And so instead of going A, B, C, D, the order now went O, B, A, F, G, K, M, which is a kind of awkward series of letters to mm-hmm. remember. So students came up with this phrase, O, be a fine girl or guy, kiss me. And that's how Astronomy 101 students learn the order of the stellar types.
My last question for you, Davis Sobel, is just an authorial craft kind of question. What do you see as a principal or core role of being a narrative nonfiction writer? Is there some part of your process that you like to pull forward?
I like the idea of telling true stories. I think it becomes more important every day that there really is a true story about women in science. I think it's really important for young girls to realize that there have been women doing science for a long time, that it, there's nothing unfeminine about it. And I hope that that will be an encouragement to young girls who are good at math, interested in science, that they have every right and reason to pursue that.
Well, thank you for writing the book, and thank you for giving me one that I can kind of pass on to my daughter, who's already interested in the stars.
Great. My pleasure.
That was Dava Sobel. Her most recent title is The Glass Universe, How the Ladies of the Harvard Observatory Took the Measure of the Stars. Her other books include A More Perfect Heaven about Copernicus and another one titled Planets. For links to her books and the story of The Glass Universe, check out the story that goes with this week's show. It lives online at KGORadio.com. Coming up after the break, we breach the security perimeter of private companies. But this company gets paid to stress test those systems, both digital and physical. That's next. So stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.